Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and we are back in full effect. I am here with the Queen of the Court. She has returned, my beautiful co-host Kylie, and my man cool as the other side of the pillow, Rob Ramsey.
And good morning.
This is, as you guys know, Big 12 Nation. Guys, crazy week four. How the hell are you?
We are great. I'm excited. Fun week of football.
I'm excited, man. Ready to go. Just nice to get into the swing of Big 12 play, seeing a couple conference teams playing.
Insane. I'm over here pulling my hair right now, Rob. Please go over to TCU game because I can't believe this mess, but I can believe it at the same time. Please elaborate, and then I'll give you my opinion
right,
so I don't fall out of my chair.
So, Corey, TCU decided to start their true freshman quarterback yesterday, Max Duggan, the true freshman out of Council Bluffs, Iowa. And to say he struggled in the first half would be an understatement. He went 1-for-10 for 22 yards, which, I mean, I guess that's what you're going to get from a true freshman at times. But his level of play was nowhere where it needs to be if they're going to win a football game. SMU is led by Shane Bichel, the ex-Texas quarterback. As a lot of you Longhorn fans know, he was behind Sam Ellinger, obviously. Wasn't going to get the playing time. Moved on, and, you know, he has SMU at 4-0 for the first time since 1984. So, good for him,
mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it comes down to a true freshman quarterback not playing well enough to win. What's frustrating, Corey, is TCU's one of those teams that every couple years you can cycle up to the top of the conference and compete for a championship when you have a defense capable, when you have a running game capable, and when you have good receivers. And they have all three of those. What they're lacking is that consistent quarterback play, and that's what's holding them back at this point. Their running back, Darius Anderson, yesterday ran the ball 19 times for 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. The week before last at Purdue, he ran the ball 16 times for 179 yards and 2 touchdowns. So ultimately, you know, like I said, the quarterback play held them back. That led to the upset, and the iron skillet is going to be returning to Dallas. What do you think?
Well, Rob, I'm going to say this, and I know this is kind of a punch at Longhorn fans, and I know Kylie is probably not going to like this, but you know what, man? This is what Shane Bichel does. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Kylie or Rob. He went 2-0 last year when Sam Ellinger was hurt. The year before that, he didn't win every game when Sam Ellinger was hurt, but he didn't lose the games either. He kept Texas right where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great game manager. He never did anything wrong. So, in a way,
mm-hmm.
I'm shocked because of the Big 12, and we needed TCU to win to keep the conference up. But like Rob said, they're freaking doing what they did when Eric Dickerson was there. So that's a big deal. In addition
right.
to that, I'm going to say that they might give Houston a run and UCF a run because that outside of the Power Five conferences, that is the best conference with the Houstons, the Cincinnatis, the South Floridas, the Central Floridas, now the SMUs. That conference is always very competitive. The only other team that's good outside of that conference is Boise State, and they're just good in general. So I wasn't surprised when I saw it down. I mean, the iron skillet is going back to Dallas, but I wasn't surprised when I saw it. But I thought by, like, the end of the game, I thought by the time Rob posted on the page, I thought it would be like, okay, TCU pulled it out by 3. But no, Shane Bichel did exactly what he could have did at Texas. And if you guys remember, we posted that article about Shane Bichel transferring back in, like, late July, and we all knew that SMU would be a different team because of him. And I'm glad the man graduated, and he's in graduate school, and he's getting the shine he deserves, and he may be able to get a late-round pick in the NFL draft or make a practice squad and make a name himself. Kylie, go ahead and let us know what you think about TCU losing.
Yeah, man, like you said, I mean, we needed them to win, but I agree with Rob. It all comes down to quarterback play. Like, Anderson did his job, but when you have a freshman quarterback like that not delivering like you need him to, you're not going to win football games. So I don't know what TCU is going to do about that. But As far as Shane Buechele, I've always been a fan of his. I was super sad to see him leave Texas. But I'm glad he's getting his time at SMU and doing showing us what he can do with the football, because he's great, and I think he could go to the NFL too. Sad that he did it against the Big 12 team, but, you know, what are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said, Rob called it. We both thought TCU would win, but at the same time, I don't think me, Rob, or I don't think you, Kyler, being a Longhorns fan, are shocked at SMU won. That's the type of kid Shane Buechele was his freshman year when Charlie Strong had his last chance to win, and that's the type of kid he was in high school. So going to a SMU, a little smaller school, a little more enrollment, he's already got his degree. He probably can focus a little more on just football. I wasn't shocked at all. So let's knock that out. And, Rob, let's go ahead and talk about this Iowa State team, letting everybody know you're damn right we should have been ranked. Don't get it twisted because we had a rough first week.
Listen, Corey, they blew that game last week against Iowa in the Cy-Hawk game, but they came out and they took out all their frustrations on Louisiana Monroe yesterday. Iowa State did something that I personally have never seen them do on offense. They put up 72 points yesterday, 714 total yards. Their quarterback, Brock Purdy, was absolutely electric. He was 21 of 27 for 435 yards throwing the football. He passed for 3 touchdowns and also ran for 3 touchdowns. And, you know, this Louisiana Monroe team is kind of up in the air still as to how good they are. They won their first game of the year. Their second game of the year, they went on the road to Florida State and lost 45-44 in overtime. You know, everybody's throwing trash on Willie Taggart and the Florida State Seminoles. I don't know how good they are, but I think that says something that Louisiana Monroe went there and competed with them. So that speaks even more highly to Iowa State's win yesterday and just their ability to come out and light them up on offense.
To put it nicely.
Yeah, I mean – yeah, exactly. I mean, when you posted that on the page, Rob, I was like, damn, Matt Campbell was pissed. Now, let me ask you this, Rob. Have they found their quarterback, what is the deal with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to say they found their quarterback, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is going to be your guy at Iowa State for the next couple of years. And, you know, I think Iowa State is one of those teams. They did have a tough loss last week against Iowa, but all their goals that they set out at the beginning of the year, which would be to win their conference games, compete for a conference championship, and then, you know, ultimately look to go further than that. All of that is still in front of them, and they can still make that happen.
Yeah, and then next week they got a big one on the road. I can't wait to elaborate on that. But, yeah, putting 72 points on them, and like you said, fighting Florida State hard like they did, UL Monroe is not any just, you know, non-Power 5 school. So Iowa State was letting people know, like, okay, y'all may get that Iowa game twisted. You're going to get hurt come Big 12 play. Kylie,
right,
what do you think about Iowa? Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that just speaks even more to the level of special teams play we've seen throughout the country the last couple weeks. Iowa State cost themselves the game against Iowa on a special teams play. Texas essentially tried to lose the game to Oklahoma State on their special teams play. I don't know if anybody was watching Nebraska and Illinois last night, but Nebraska's special teams play is absolutely god-awful. And, you know, that's the difference for a lot of these teams in those three-point games. It's going to come down to how you play on special teams.
Yeah, any college teams out there looking for a special teams coordinator and hiring, I am available. Rob and Kyler can always co-host this show without me, but I'm available. It's very straightforward to the point. Kylie, what do you think about Iowa State really, you know, putting a beat down on UL Monroe?
I mean, I'm glad for them. 72-20 is a beat down, is putting it lightly. But Purdy did great, and he set a school record with his 435 yards and 6 touchdowns. I think Iowa State has some proving to do. As far as next week when they play Baylor, I think that's going to be a good showing. I know Baylor's like one of the up-and-coming schools this year in the Big 12. I think they're going to have a really good shot at it. As far as for the what it looks like for the Big 12, it makes a good statement. I mean, I know it's just Louisiana Monroe, but still, 72-20 is pretty bad. So,
did you guys see West Virginia and Kansas yesterday?
Yes, we
did.
What'd you think?
Yeah, Kansas gave West Virginia a run for their money. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to say this, Rob. Kansas is looking better than they have in the last 5 years by actually competing with West Virginia and fighting really hard at home. So, like we said, Les Miles, that six-year plan, that five-year plan, and they could have won this game. So most people are going to be ecstatic if Kansas wins four games this year, because most likely next year they should be able to win five or six, just win their three out-of-conference games. And I believe that BC game will now be at home if they do a home-and-home like people usually do. And he should be able to come out undefeated. And then if next year they can get to a bowl game, that's fine. But if he keeps fighting these teams and they're in it to the fourth quarter, Kansas is no joke. And West Virginia is, you know, has really proven me wrong. I thought after week one we were going to have a problem. But, you know, like West Virginia fans have said on the page, they really didn't like Dana Holgorsen. And Dana Holgorsen is not doing so hot in his start at Houston. So, you know, West Virginia may be doing what they always do in the Big 12. You always think they're going to be six or seven or eight, and they always come out top three or four.
Right. So I do want to give one big shout-out from that game, Corey and Kylie. Martell Petaway for West Virginia. Yesterday he had two touchdowns. The guy's a senior. Last week was the first ever game that he was healthy and got a DNP. He did not play last week against NC State. Gary Neal said that they just didn't have him in the game plan. They didn't use him. So the guy didn't even get in for one play last week against NC State. Kept a good head on him all week, worked hard in practice, came out and scored two touchdowns against Kansas, which was ultimately the difference in that game. So I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to him. But like you were saying, Corey, this is the first time Kansas has looked like a competitive football team in a while. Yesterday, their quarterback, Carter Stanley, was 19-25 for 275 yards, three touchdowns. They have a guy who appears to be a star wide receiver in Andrew Parchment. He had five receptions for 132 yards and two touchdowns. So there was definitely some positives to take away from the Jayhawks' performance yesterday. But unfortunately for them, it's not going to get any easier. They're right into the thick of the schedule now. Their next couple games are going to be at TCU, at Oklahoma, and at home for Texas. So, you know, I just don't know what Kansas fans can expect from these upcoming games. But, you know, if you take what they've done through the first four games, they look like an improved team. And Les Miles appears to be making, you know, some significant improvements in Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, it's that simple. Just compete.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a Kansas fan, I'd have hope. Like, I know you lost 5 points to West Virginia, but I'm seeing, like, really good sparks from them. I know it's going to get harder. They play TCU, Oklahoma, and Texas. But with Les Miles there, I think he's going to make some big differences. I think Kansas can actually try and play with, like, a chip on their shoulder and look to the future, because I think they might start getting better here pretty soon. I'm excited. They're kind of I feel like they're kind of like our little cousin. I like
Kansas.
I want to see them do better.
Yeah. The goal
for Kansas this has to be a really tough loss for Kansas to swallow. Coming into this weekend, there were 65 teams in Division I football that had gained 7 yards per play while holding their opponent to less than 5 yards per play. Those teams were 64-1. Kansas did that yesterday, and the record became 64-2. So for Kansas, you know, they played a good game, and ultimately they just didn't do enough, and that one's really going to sting at the end of the year.
Yeah, but I think the goal for Kansas this year, guys, is compete. Just compete, because in recent years they haven't been competing, and we literally turn it on, and they do a Big 12 update at halftime, and they'd be like, Kansas out of it midway through the second quarter. So just compete. I think that's what's good for this year. And let's go ahead and jump on over to Baylor, and then we'll go to the big one, Texas versus Oklahoma State, where I'm going to just be totally selfish. when I talk about that one. But let's talk about this one real quick. I was shocked, Rob and Kylie, that they only won by 7. However, I also feel like they were overlooking because they knew what they had coming next week, and they know Iowa State ain't BSing around. So I think they were just kind of like, oh, I'm going to run the ball and just methodical and not do use too many plays, and it almost cost them. And Rice let them know, like, we were playing hard against Texas. Texas was really good, but you think we're just going to be easy, and we're going to play you really hard.
Go ahead, Kyler.
Yeah, no, I think it was kind of not embarrassing, but, yeah, I think Baylor should have won by more than they did. I think they came out and underestimated Rice a little bit. But and now with playing Iowa State next week, coming off of that big win, I think they got a little preparing to do because that one's going to be a good game.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was an ugly win for Baylor, but they're 3-0 headed into conference play. They scored 21 points in the first half, and then they were held scoreless by the Rice defense in the second half. Rice is 0-4. So, I mean, that's not the kind of momentum that you want to carry into a game with Iowa State next week. But ultimately they did come out on top. They did what they had to do, and it's on to the Cyclones. So we'll see what Baylor's made of next Saturday.
Yeah,
hey,
you gotta
I know why you messed up. Go ahead, Kylie.
No, you got to put these non-conference games behind you if you're Baylor and just focus on Iowa State and the Big 12 coming up now.
Rob, I know why you messed up and almost said Ohio State, because you know in the future that guy, Matt Campbell, will probably be the Ohio State coach, being that he's an Ohio boy, born and bred, played at Mount Union. So depending on if Ryan Day goes back to the NFL or not, that may be your next Ohio State coach. So I know why you slipped up and said that.
Is there a good chance of Ryan Day going back to the NFL, Corey? What have you been hearing?
I don't know if it's not this year, but I think if he does pretty well at Ohio State for like a couple of years or so, I think he might want to take his chance going to the NFL, because you don't have to deal with as much bull crap as you do in college with recruiting stuff. It's just like, you're a grown man, you're a professional. Get here on time or I'll cut your ass. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And, I mean, yesterday Ohio State put up some ridiculous numbers. Their quarterback, Justin Fields, had 6 touchdowns through 2 quarters and then sat out the rest of the game. So Ohio State's right on pace with what they do every year. They don't look to have taken any steps back from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day.
And that was a jackass move for them to do that to the Cradle of Coaches. I think they were just mad, Rob, because Miami Ohio got out 5-0. If anybody doesn't know what Miami Ohio is, it's the Cradle of Coaches. Woody Hayes, Shim Beckler, all of them were there before they went to their bigger schools.
I didn't know that.
Yep, look up Miami, Ohio when we get off, the Cradle of Coaches. Now, time for me to turn into jackass mode. First, I'm going to let Rob go and talk about this Texas game. Then I'm going to let Kylie elaborate, and then I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to have the floor to finish out because I got some things to say.
Okay, so, I mean, as everybody knows, Texas ended up winning 36-30 over Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State had previously won 5 straight games in Austin, so it was nice for Texas to kind of exercise those demons and finally pull out a win. What we saw from Sam Ellinger was another Heisman-worthy performance. He was 20-28 for 281 yards, 4 touchdowns. All 4 of those touchdowns were to different receivers. He also ran the ball 10 times for 70 yards, including that game clincher. But the trick play call when they did the reverse and then Sam Ellinger threw the touchdown, that was the best play call I've seen in college football yet this year in a big game. You know, they made a risky call and they made it pay off. Keontae Ingram stepped up huge for the Longhorns yesterday. I know people have kind of been on the fence about their running back position, how good they are, how deep they are. He ran the ball 21 times for 114 yards, did everything you could ask for him. And then Devin Duvernay, I think, in the game yesterday, surpassed Tylan Wallace as the best receiver in the conference. I'm just going to say it. Anybody who watched the game, they were trying to get the ball to Devin Duvernay every single time they were on offense. He had 12 receptions for 108 yards. And ultimately, him, Keontae Ingram, Sam Ellinger, that was the difference. For Oklahoma State, they have the high-powered trio of Spencer Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, and Tylan Wallace. The Texas defense, despite having 4 starters in the secondary injured, held Tylan Wallace to 5 catches for 83 yards and no touchdowns. I think that was the difference in the game. Tylan Wallace was widely considered to be the best receiver in the conference, most explosive receiver, and they held him without a touchdown. And that's, you know, the biggest takeaway that I had. There was way too many field goals from the Oklahoma State offense, including that terrible attempt at a fake field goal when everybody knew they needed a touchdown. That was going nowhere. And Mike Gundy, what were you doing running the ball straight into the line with that many starters hurt in the Texas secondary? Chuba Hubbard ran the ball 37 times. Your quarterback ran the ball 18 times. And, I mean, you've got to take advantage of the matchups. You have backups playing in the secondary for Texas. You have to exploit that. I understand that you have a freshman quarterback and you're worried about turning the football over. But you handcuffed yourself all night, and ultimately I think that was the difference in the game. Kylie, what did you take away?
Obviously, I'm super excited that we won. I think that it shouldn't have been that close. But as far as Ellinger putting on that performance, he was doing what he does. He was throwing touchdowns, making runs, doing what we needed him to do. Ingram, I was so excited to watch him play. He seems to be more aggressive. I think he was coming off of a knee injury, so he seems to be looking a lot healthier, being more aggressive, just pounding that line. Duvernay, like you said, he's definitely probably one of the top receivers in the conference. I was excited to see a shutdown Wallace, though. I was a little nervous with our secondary being in the second string like they were, but we shut them down like I was hoping we would do, especially after taking all that criticism from LSU and Rice last week. So I was excited to see that, but who I'm really excited to watch play right now is Deion Johnson. He is on fire. I know he only had 9 carries for 30 yards, but watching that boy play is amazing. He really loves what he's doing. I can't wait to see him work as a quarterback next year. But as far as this week goes, I think watching us make those big plays like that trick play and actually finishing through with them after that LSU game a couple weeks ago, I was excited to see that those work for us this time. So a lot of bright future ahead for Texas. I think they got a good shot at winning the Big 12. I see Oklahoma as our only competition right now. And even that, I think that's going to be a blood battle like it always is, but I see us winning the Big 12.
Okay, Rob, before I elaborate, where is the Iowa State game? At Texas or in Ames?
The Iowa State game is going to be – give me 1 second.
Iowa State at Iowa State.
Yeah, Texas at Iowa State, November 16th.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one, Kylie. On the road at the end of the year, that's a trap game. So let me go.
Listen,
coach
I think
mode.
Kansas State has a shot.
That too. Let me go straight coach mode and be a jerk here. Number 16, great catch. You scored. You're a freshman. When you're that close at halftime and it's going like this, you fake catch the ball and you run the other way. You let the damn thing bounce in the end zone for a touchback. If they stop it, if they get you on the one-yard line, and let's say you don't get it out, so the hell what? It's a safety. It's 2 points versus 7 damn points. And if you get a safety, you can still kick it to them, and you can still stop them from scoring. But most importantly, you yell, Peter, you get the hell out of there, and that's the end of that. Another play, guys, on the quads formation when they scored. It drove me crazy that Texas missed 2 damn tackles right there because I'm sitting there looking at it like they put 4 receivers over there because they're going to run the quarterback the other way. And then we got 2 guys diving at him. And I'm just and then the third guy, I'm like, guys, this is basic football. You know they're trying to get you out of the box so they can run misdirection. So all you have to do is have a defensive end not lose contain and an outside linebacker just play the flat area. He runs right in for the damn touchdown. I'm like, come on, guys. This is basic football. If he does throw the damn quads, then he has to throw it all up in the air really quick because they're all bunched together. So it drove me crazy on that play. Also, in the third quarter, they were running some of the same plays, guys, and the defensive end was losing contain. Todd Orlando's excellent. I don't know anything compared to his defensive expertise, But damn it, instead of playing the four technique, just move them to the five technique so you can bounce the run back inside. But if you know what I'm, remember what I'm talking about, Rob, where they literally kept running the same play to the sideline with Hubbard in the quarterback, read zone in the, to the exact same perimeter. And I'm just like, really? We're not just going to bump this five technique so we can push the run back inside?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And Oklahoma State didn't adjust while Texas did end up taking that away in the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, I mean, he did adjust. Good job with Tyler Lando. And then the second muff punt. If you're going to run towards the ball in that damn situation, fake like you're going to catch it and run and let somebody else run into it. So you get the ball, get out of there. Nonetheless, they did stop them with pressure on their back. Sam Ellinger got the first down. Game over. Texas found a way to win. But if that's Oklahoma, Kylie or Rob, or that's Kansas State, or that's Iowa State on the road, that's a damn problem. Like I wrote on the page last night, are the special teams that oblivious? Yell, Peter. Get the hell away from the ball. Don't even play that game. And I want to give a shout-out to that kid, Eagles. I even texted you about this last night, Colin. Where the hell did y'all get that dude from?
And he's been there. He's been a work in progress, so everyone's been sleeping on him. He's been there for a few years and just working and working. And this year I'm excited to see him finally start to break through and show us what he can do because he's excited to watch, man.
Yeah, other than that, Keontae Ingram looked good last night, and he actually ran motivated. He ran kind of tuned in the LSU game. Last night, he ran like he was just like, no, y'all going to get the hell out of my way. I'm winning this game.
Exactly.
So shout out to Keontae Ingram because he put it on his shoulders last night, and he said, no, not today. I'm not doing it today. I'm going to run hard. Y'all not going to stop us. So shout out to Texas for a great win. They pulled it off. They won for the first time in years. The last time they beat Oklahoma State was under – your boy Charlie Strong, and it was at Oklahoma State. So congrats to Coach Herman for his first win against Oklahoma State and Gundy. Now, guys, let's just go around the nation real quick. Rob, Michigan fans are complaining about Jim Harbaugh. My simple argument is, okay, if you fire Jim Harbaugh, who the hell are you going to get? Number one, I mean, it's real simple. If you fire him, okay, Brady Hoke wasn't good enough. Lloyd Carr wasn't good enough, and he never had a losing record, and he kicked butt. It's just a different day and time, and if you stick with him, he'll eventually get Ryan Day. But my whole argument is that's fine. You can be mad. You can be upset. If you fire him, though, who the hell do you replace him with? That's my only argument.
Couldn't agree with that anymore, Corey. I know all you Michigan fans are mad that you guys got beat yesterday 35-14. Jonathan Taylor had a record-setting performance, ran for over 200 yards. Wisconsin came out and played the smash-mouth football that they're known for and absolutely dominated Michigan from the point of attack. But like you just said, I want to know who you want to be the coach if you're a Michigan fan. Do you want Rich Rodriguez back? Didn't think so. Do you want
right.
Brady Hoke back? I didn't think so.
Right.
And hold up, Rob,
before you finish.
You want to go.
Yeah, before you finish real quick, Rob, they tried to get Les Miles a couple years ago. He's a Michigan guy, but it's no way in hell that Les Miles is going to leave Kansas where he knows he'll probably get 5-6 years and go to Michigan where he's going to get 2 or 3.
Right. And, you know, I just don't understand what Michigan fans want to do. I don't know who they think is going to be a better football coach for their program than Jim Harbaugh, who is an ex-Michigan guy. And, you know, Corey, I actually want to take this into Nebraska fans a little bit. That's leading into – this week's upcoming game, we're playing Ohio State in Lincoln. College game day is going to be there. Last night, Nebraska looked absolutely terrible against Illinois. We got beat on the road at Colorado. Looked terrible against Northern Illinois in another game earlier this year. I think Nebraska is going to get beat by 20 or 30 points by Ohio State. And I'm just hoping that the fans also have the patience to realize – who do we want to bring back? Do we want Mike Riley back? No. Do we want Bo Pelini back? No. Do you want Bill Callahan back? No.
Hell
when you're
no.
Michigan and when you're Nebraska, Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh are the guys you want leading this program. I don't care what the results are on the field. Those are the guys you want leading your program. So all the fans need to chill, take these guys off the hot seat, and root on their team. You know, you guys have the best coach possible for your program. You need to understand that, and I'm all ears if somebody wants to tell me who's a better fit at Michigan, who's a better fit at Nebraska. So I'm actually taking these guys off the hot seat.
Yep. So I'm going to say this. UCF, Rob, Kylie, do they belong or do they not belong? Go ahead, Rob.
From a pure talent standpoint, I have to say no. They don't stack up with Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Texas, Ohio State. I just don't think they stack up. But when you put together a track record of 2-3 into the fourth straight season of being the best team outside of the Power Five, eventually you do have to get that shot, and it's on you to prove that you belong there. You know, they've taken every step possible that they can to prove that they're a legitimate program. They beat Auburn in the bowl game in Atlanta a couple years ago. They went undefeated. They claimed the national championship, however legitimate that is. But, you know, I just don't know who you're going to take out of the playoff to put UCF in. It would be the biggest dilemma with that. You know, but they every time they play one of the big boys, they prove that they can compete. So, you know what? Throw them in there. Give them a shot.
Yep. Kylie?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree. I think UCF is one of those schools that they have, like, moments where it's like, okay, yeah, yeah, give them that chance, give them that chance. But I think they need a couple more years before we start talking about a playoff for them, only because of who they have to play to get to that point. So I think you just got to give them a few more years on that.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm going to say this. UCF lost yesterday, Rob and Collie, because they got a little too damn cocky. They got arrogant. They asked them afterwards because they beat the crap out of Stanford the week before, and they thought they were just going to walk into Pittsburgh and win. But guess what they got to realize? Pat Narduzzi is the defensive coordinator for Michigan State that kicked Urban Meyer's ass in Columbus and also kicked Baylor's ass in a bowl game and also played Alabama in their first Final Four appearance. So know what coaches you're going against before you get so arrogant. I don't give a damn how good your offense is. Defense wins championships. Offense wins games. And we'll say this real quick, Rob.
Exactly.
Three real quick hot seat ones. Lovie Smith lost again, but Illinois actually does look better, so I won't pound them so good. Willie Taggart got to win. They are being – I'm hard on Willie Taggart, but I still think the man deserves 3 or 4 years like everybody else. He got to win yesterday, and they finally did what I said. You wanted to blame Taggart in the defense, and Willie stuck up this week and said it, and I've been saying it. No, it's not the defense. Kendall Briles has to come up with drives in the second half. If you do a 15-second drive and my defense is right out there for 7 minutes, I'm going to lose, and then you don't score no second-half points. Yesterday they scored second-half points. They put together drives. They won the game. And Clay Helton, shout out to him for winning with a third-string quarterback. Good job, Clay Helton.
Yeah, man, couldn't agree with that more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Let's jump into our – if you want to add to that at all, Kylie?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. So.
Okay, guys. Now it's our weekly picks. Who wants to go first? I'm going to let y'all choose this week. If y'all want me to go first, I'll go first, or if somebody else wants to go first. Who wants to go first?
You go first,
Corey.
Okay. All right. Kansas at TCU. I think this is going to be a relatively close game. I want to say Kansas is going to shock everybody, but at the same time, TCU is at home. I think they learned their lesson from SMU. So I give TCU the win.
31-17. Call me crazy. I really want Kansas. I think they're going to come out playing. TCU is still going to be hurt from that SMU game. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to say I think I'm going to have to say TCU, though, 21-14.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Kansas, Kylie, and I wasn't going to argue with you because of the way you pulled that first week off. I was about to say me and Rob are going to take what you take, saying, take it straight to the sports book. We're going straight to the sports book with that shit.
So I think Max Duggan, TCU's true freshman quarterback, kind of found a rhythm in the second half of last week's game. I think Kansas is going to be kind of reeling off that loss from West Virginia. I think TCU comes out in kind of the fashion Iowa State did against Louisiana Monroe. I think the Horned Frogs win big, 37-14.
Okie dokie, guys. Texas Tech. Yep, I got this right. I'm sorry. Texas Tech at Oklahoma. 45-13 or some crap like that. 45-13 Oklahoma, maybe 45-19-ish if they take their starters out.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma's going to run all over Texas Tech. I don't want to see that. But I'm going to say Oklahoma 56, Texas Tech 21.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm right in line with that, guys. I'm going with the Sooners to win big. Jalen Hurts continues his Heisman campaign. I've got Oklahoma 54-20.
Okie doke. Now, Iowa State at Baylor. Now, this is the one next week that is what we want to actually judge people on.
Yep.
Iowa State looked good, but Baylor was probably overlooking them. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I double check for me. This is a home game for Baylor, so Baylor is going to play their ass off. However, we know in recent years, under the Matt Campbell era, Iowa State is really damn good at kicking your ass on your home field. So I am going to go 42-28, Iowa State. Damn it, I'm going with them with the upset on the road.
Honestly, I'm going to agree, but I don't think they're going to blow them out like that. I think it's going to be a closer game. I'm going to say 34-28, Iowa State.
I'm also going to take Iowa State. I'm going to go 31-26, Cyclones.
Okay. We all want to say hey there. Now, the fun one, Kansas State at Oklahoma State. I think if Kansas State gets running and runs that clock, Oklahoma State is going to have a problem. However, and this is just to watch my back in case I make a bad pick. However, Oklahoma State at home is very good at catching you with 3 minutes left and pulling out a win. But I'm going to go the exact same score versus Mississippi State. I'm going to just go Kansas State 34, Oklahoma State 31.
Ooh, the upset.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to pick Oklahoma State on this one. I think they're going to be mad coming off of the loss of Texas. So I'm going to pick Oklahoma State. I'm going to say 34-14, Oklahoma State.
So I think Oklahoma State is going to be pretty beat up coming into this football game. Like I said yesterday, your quarterback ran the football 18 times. Your running back ran the football 37 times. Kansas State is as physical as any team in this conference. I'm going to take Kansas State with the upset, 27-21 on the road. Wildcats win.
And normally I would agree, but Sanders is a competitor, you know, and I think he's going to be super salty from the loss to Texas, especially how close it was. I don't think he's going to want to take another loss back-to-back, so I think they're going to really come out and compete. So.
And to that point, Kylie, everything that I saw from Spencer Sanders after the game, in the post-game press conferences and interviews that he did, absolutely love everything that he's saying. I think the guy's a winner. And this is his freshman season. Oklahoma State is going to be one of those teams that cycles up to the top of the conference, maybe his sophomore year, maybe his junior year, and really has a chance to compete for a conference championship and eventually the college football playoff.
Very good insight. Yep. Very, very good insight by both of you guys. And Texas is on a bye week, so they'll, heal up. Get some treatment, some injuries.
They're getting healthy before they go to West Virginia, I know they're not very good, but it's always a tough place to play.
Right.
Yeah,
and perfect.
A very hostile place to play, no matter what. Collins didn't play this week, so he's got that hamstring injury. He's coming off of that, so he'll be good to go. Hopefully, some of our running backs will be back. So I don't think we'll have a problem against West Virginia. So.
And perfect argument by both of you guys because, yes, West Virginia is on a bye week, too. And that game is at West Virginia, Kylie and Rob,
yep.
Or correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, it is. First
okay. Week. Yeah, so we'll have that to talk about. And before we get kicked off, I know we're going to get kicked off really quick here, so I'm going to just say this real quick. Today, if the college football playoff came out, My picks would be, and I'm going to let you do this one last, Rob, because you're the overanalyzer. I'm going to say number one, Clemson, number two, Alabama, number three, Oklahoma, and – no, excuse me, sorry. Number three, Ohio State, number four, Oklahoma. And if I had to pick a team from a non-Power 5 conference, it would be Boise State. Go ahead, Kylie.
I mean, you took, like, the picks out of my mouth. I was going to say Clemson. One, I like Oklahoma for two, Alabama, and then Ohio State as well.
Yeah, so I like the same as you guys. I just think Georgia also has to be thrown in there. I like Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia. Obviously, one of those two SEC teams will knock the other one out. So, yeah.
Yep.
And who belongs non-Power 5, Rob?
No, nobody as of right now. Honestly, I didn't see the ECF game yesterday.
Okay. All right, guys, that is our Big 12 Nation for this week. We appreciate you guys. We're going to try and get a YouTube presence. Rob and Kylie, have a good week. It was fun as usual. Everybody be safe out
you
there.
Bet.
And have a good one.
Have a good one.
Yep, have
thanks,
a good
Corey.
One.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Yep, bye.
Bye. Have a good one.